Welcome to Power CEOs, the truth behind the business. I'm Jen Godet, your fearless host, and I'm here because I believe that iron sharpens iron. And when we bring industry leaders, experts, disruptors to share what's working in business and even what's not, we are all able to learn and grow. As a result, our businesses grow, and the ripple effect impacts not only ourselves, our teams, and their families, but also our communities and our world. You are in for a treat today. I have a very special guest here, Melanie Johnson, media mogul, international best-selling author, founder of Elite Online Publishing. She is here to share with us the scoop. How do we stand out in the noise? How do we establish trust and leverage our brand voice in a world that's inundated with AI and robots? So Melanie, welcome to Power CEOs.
Thank you so much for having me. It is such a pleasure. I'm a huge fan of the show. Just love it. Thanks so much.
I'm super excited about this because the problem facing so many of our of the people who watch, of the business owners and entrepreneurs today, is there's this huge transition happening. AI is flooding everything. We have all these things thrown at us.
Yes.
And how do we allow our authentic voice to come through all the noise? How do we set ourselves apart? And even more so, you're seeing this huge shift in generations where we're exiting businesses, we're exiting corporate in favor of starting a business. And so what does that mean for us as an identity crisis? I want to dive into all of the details.
I can't wait.
So let's start first. You know, you work with a lot of leaders.
Yeah.
And a lot of leaders who may be preparing to exit a role, or maybe they're starting a new role, and they come to you because, well, who am I if I'm not the CEO of XYZ Corporation? Well, how do we solve that problem?
It's really such an identity crisis, right? They're used to having all of these people around them. We did Jamie Root's book, President of the Houston Texans, and, you know, he eventually got let go from there. It was a transition, and then he was used to having a team, and suddenly you're not having a team. This is the era of building your personal brand. So starting now and moving forward, whether you're a CEO of a company or you're an individual working in management level, C-level, you've got to start building your personal brand so you can have your own individual voice and people know who you are. Otherwise, like I told you earlier in the green room, it's like if you're not telling your story and building your brand, somebody else is going to do it for you. You've got to be in control of that narrative.
Absolutely. And it's so true now. And it might be AI telling the story for
you.
So, but here is something that I hear, because people come to me, I help people launch their businesses, scale their businesses, and exit their businesses.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I hear from people who are still in corporate that are making that transition is, well, I don't know if I can build a personal brand, because what if my company sees me? What if it's not what I want to appear on LinkedIn, or I'm not ready for my company to know I'm exiting my role? What advice do you give to those people who are kind of in that transition and they're a little hesitant, or they may also say something like, I don't like being the center of attention, or I'm not really one to self-promote. Like, how do we answer those kind of concerns?
I think you have to find your middle ground of where you are comfortable, right? For some people like that I work with, it's really telling your story in a book. So that way you have full control of the entire narrative. And usually companies are okay with that, as long as you are also pointing direction to their company. It's advertising for them. It's making them seem like they're forefront of it. But you do have to have that conversation with the company when you're doing that to make sure it's okay. And we worked with Dr. Laura Murillo. She is president of the largest Hispanic chamber. And she knew that she might be transitioning, but by doing her book, it ingrained her even more into the Houston Chamber of Commerce, Hispanic Chamber. And they loved it because it promoted her. It gave her a reason to have media attention. So not only did it grow her personal brand, it grew the company that she was working for. So you've got to think about, are you comfortable just posting on LinkedIn? Are you comfortable telling your whole story? Another great exercise, Jen, I want to say that you should do. A lot of people don't with AI. We did this with somebody yesterday. Ask ChatGPT or any of the formats, What do you know about me? So, put in, what do you know about Melanie Johnson? We did this for Andy Falco. He's an expert witness, and it was interesting what it came up with. But it was only what it knew, right? And then we said, well, what would a lawyer ask him if he was on the stand? and did a scenario. So it's just different ways to do that. So if it knows you or not. And then we recently had two people find us, Elite Online Publishing, by doing a ChatGPT search.
Oh, yeah. And AI optimization, right? A whole other conversation, because marketing is changing. How we're getting found is changing. But I do want to dive into this since you brought up ChatGPT. Listen, I did an exercise yesterday.
Did you?
And I asked, what is my brand vibe on Facebook?
Great question.
I thought it was, and I only wanted to know what it was on Facebook specifically because I'm not very active there.
Yeah.
But I'm a little snarky and I'm pretty direct. So I'm like, am I coming across wrong? Because if people are on LinkedIn, people find me on LinkedIn, people find me on television.
Right.
Those are my two main sources. But if they find me and they go to Facebook, is it going to be that off? And it cracked me up. It told me, I can't remember the exact words, but it said I was premium. With punch.
Oh, that's and it said, like you, right?
It said that I was premium with punch, and it said, like a fine single malt whiskey in a crystal glass. No garnish. I cracked up. I was like, oh, I think it kind of is. It might be right. And so
yeah.
I thought about it, and I said, you know, well, I'm no BS. I'm no fluff. I'm telling you how it is. I want to bring the truth, what's real, what's not real,
right,
to here. I'm not here on television to tell the Instagram story. I want the raw. And it picked that up. So I thought that was really interesting.
So, and that's why it's such a great exercise to do that with your brand, right? Your social media brand, or even asking it, hey, you know, what should my personal brand be? How should I express my personal brand being the CEO of this company or whatever position that you're in, and seeing the feedback and getting some ideas?
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I'm so glad we went there. So now let me ask the next question, because I was on stage yesterday and I was on stage about speaking about AI and how we can leverage the tool to help us with everything within our business from an optimization standpoint. And one person stood up and asked the question, well, can I write my book with AI? And I said, whoa, that's a loaded question. But I have the person to ask tomorrow. So I'm really excited. I'm literally asking this person for someone. My opinion is, you know what? It has to be your content and you use it to optimize. But I want to know what the expert has to say.
Okay, so overall, I'm going to say no. But you can use AI for a tool to get you started, right? You can upload your speeches, your videos, any content, blog posts, all of those things you can upload. And we're writing a book right now called Be Recognized, and we did that same thing, that exercise. So it came up with chapter titles, ideas, and ideas for content. But what's missing that only you can put in your book is your stories, your personal expertise and experience. Otherwise, it's going to make stuff up. I mean, when we first did this, it made up people, it made up companies. We're like, well, that's all deleted, right? But now let's insert our knowledge into that to make it whole. So you really can do it as an idea factory. So, you know, ChatGPT can be used for ideas, it can be used for thinking, can be used for structure. So I always say in writing, you know, I used to say it's 10-80-10. But really, when you're writing a book, it's like really 20% of you, and then maybe 60% where AI is giving you ideas and content, and then another 20%. But it could be even more, you know, that you're having to, because then after that, you've got to go through editing and all of that sort of thing. So I think it's great, just to reiterate, it's great to get like outline ideas, some general content ideas and things that you wouldn't think of, just to brainstorm. But at the end of the day, it has to be your story, your content, and your journey. So it's believable and it's authentic. Otherwise, people are, they're going to call BS on it.
Sure will, especially me.
Yeah.
True story. So I'm going to ask you the next question. What is the risk of waiting too long to build this presence, this authority, this credibility? How does personal brand earn you a seat at tables even after you've left your last industry, your last gig?
You know, the thing is, you get to take your personal brand with you wherever you go. And, you know, to say, when is it too late? Well, it's never too late to start, right? Start as soon as you can. Tomorrow is a great day to start. And work with experts as well. Sometimes you feel like you're in a vacuum, especially if you're already left a job. You have no idea. So join a group, get an expert, get a coach, get a consultant to help you do that and figure out where you should be positioning yourself, how you should be positioning yourself. And then the big job is, well, what is your goal? What do you want to do? What's the end game? Because if you don't know what that is, it's hard to say what part of your brand. And now that's a conversation too, because all of us have different parts of our personality. We're not all the same. Like, we're different when we're a parent. We use a different part of our skill set. We're different when we're maybe at work. We're different when we're with our girlfriends, or, you know what I'm saying? Or when you're acting as a coach on Little League. So what parts of those personality do you want to share that's going to get you to your end game of your goal? You don't have to share all of you, but you have to share the part that's going to get you to the goal of where you want to be in the next phase of your life.
Melanie, your perspective is powerful. It's practical. For our viewers who want to start this, what is the one step to get started on this journey? If they're just hearing this and they're like, oh, I feel attacked right now. I feel like you're speaking directly to me. I'm triggered. I need to do something here. What is the one first step? Because it could be overwhelming.
You know, let's bring AI into this, because that's where the conversation is. Go ask those questions to artificial intelligence. So we talked about ChatGPT, but I also like Manus. I think Manus is really great right now. Grok just launched 4, mm-hmm. so that's looking pretty good. We did a lot of content on Claude when we did the recent book, Be Recognized. So I would say just ask those questions and find prompts. Another great thing is if you go into ChatGPT under GPTs and you put in how to do my own personal brand, it'll come up with these custom prompts that people have built that you can piggyback on, that you don't have to think about this elaborate prompt, and you can use that to get started. So ask those questions of like, hey, what should I do? What should I do to start my personal brand? I'm leaving my job. Give it some context. I think that's the easiest, fastest way to give you some ideas, and then ask it to give you some action steps. And then from there, again, go back to working with an expert to help you.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Folks, we are on a roll. We do have to take a brief break. You're going to want to stay tuned because we're going to dive even deeper after the break. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to Power CEOs. Are you loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of it. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy access to all of our shows. If you are just tuning in, you're going to want to go to nowmedia.tv, click on Power CEOs and catch the first few minutes of this episode because it has been pure gold. We have been diving into personal brands, how to stand out, how to leverage AI, and what not to do with AI with Melanie Johnson, who is here with us again in this segment. We are going to switch gears just a little bit. We started talking, Melanie, a little bit about how people want to use AI to create content, but they're afraid of sounding robotic. We're afraid of losing authenticity. We don't want to damage our credibility in this world that's filled with digital noise. So everybody's saying, use AI, use AI, use AI, but we don't want that blanket robotic message. So what are you saying to people who are excited about using AI, but are sort of terrified that they're going to miss something, that something's going to slip through the crack and they're going to sound fake or it's going to be brand damaging?
Okay, so here's the secret is knowing how to use AI, that it's your voice. So I'll just dive into ChatGPT because I have my own custom GPT. We do this for our authors and our clients as well, that we dive into making and crafting your own personal voice. So when I go in to create something, an email or an email campaign or whatever it is, what I do is use my custom GPT and it comes out sounding like me. So my assistant was making an email series and I proofed it and I said, you know, this doesn't really sound like me. I said, did you use my custom GPT? And she said, no, I didn't. And I went, I can tell. Mm-hmm. I can tell it didn't sound like the words that I used, the language that I used, the energy, the excitement. So she went back, redid it, and then I was like, yes, now it sounds like me, our personal brand for the company. So you've got to learn how to use these tools. And I'm just telling you, if you're not using these tools already, you're already behind. Mm-hmm. It's like jumping on the internet 10 years after it was already created, and AI is going so fast, so quick. But keep in mind that you are going to learn tools that are going to be outdated maybe in a month, mm-hmm. maybe in a week, maybe in an hour. We used to use this thing called Jasper. We used it for a couple years. I mean, that's hit the dust. We don't use that at all anymore. But we learned how to use it and got our feet wet because it was new. It was AI. So the quicker you learn the language and the skills and the technology, the faster ahead you're going to be, and your business is going to go faster further as well.
Well, and the fun thing, I've been playing around with AI for 4 years now, and if you start, even if the tool is a little bit obsolete, down down the road, it's not like you start from scratch, because all of these LLMs sort of, they reason in the same way, mm-hmm. and the tools, they're just getting better and better. So today's the day to start, folks. If you're not leveraging AI in your content creation, you're way behind the curve. Today is the day to start. So I love action items. So if you have not played with it, please, and if you're watching me and you haven't, you, shame on you. However, today's the day to go just start. But let's talk about something that's all over the news this week, especially because YouTube has now taken away monetization for the solid AI content. We saw a flood of AI-only generated, AI voice, AI copy, AI, and it lost its humanity and it flooded that platform. Talk about how to not overdo it.
You know, you really need UGC, user-generated content, is where they're saying, like, we want real, authentic content. I'm going to give a shout-out to my son's company, Clipper, C-L-I-P-R, but they do only real-generated content, making clips. And that's what you need to do, because otherwise you're going to get pulled off. Now, there's a question, like, in my business, doing AI voices, mm-hmm. right, for the audiobook. And we've had people be pulled off. Mm-hmm. And Amazon all of a sudden is rampantly, like, all of a sudden just taking people's books down, and we don't know why. So they're just saying, oh, well, you don't fit our terms and conditions. And that's kind of, I like that YouTube is drawing a line in the sand, mm-hmm. saying we're trying to keep this real, trying to keep it original. And really what that does, it protects your own personal brand and your content by doing that. So someone isn't out bastardizing who you are and your brand, especially if you're a YouTuber and you're making that money that way. So I know one YouTuber, he's a really professional chef and has a lot of millions of followers. But what he's done is he told YouTube, I don't want anybody else making clips of my content. So only his content is coming out there from his original channel. And now what he's done is he has, I guess they bought or started his own other channels on YouTube, but they're his channels, and he's putting the clips on his own channels. Does that make sense?
Yes.
He's in total control, and then if he monetizes those channels, all that revenue goes to him. So I think that's what the future is happening, where you're controlling your whole brand instead of letting other people take your clips and put them here, there, and everywhere, which Mr. Beast did.
Yep.
You know, he used that platform, but now they're saying, well, wait a minute, I don't want everybody and their brother to do it. I want to control the whole narrative and control my whole brand of what the clips are and what platforms they're going on. So I think that's kind of the future, and I love that they did it, because again, it protects you as an individual, mm-hmm. and your brand and your content by doing that.
Well, and let's just talk a little bit about the damage to brands that happen because someone might take something out of context.
Absolutely.
I have seen this so many mm-hmm. times. You know, we talk about protection and protecting your IP, but protecting your name, your image, your likeness, especially if you're a public figure, especially if you are an entrepreneur and investor, it's really important for us to do that, because people could take one thing. You might have been telling a story and it's not actually what you meant, like nothing to do with what you believe at all, and they take it out of context and blow it up and it goes viral. So I think the protection is coming. I think we're going to see a lot of shifts. Talk to me a little bit about the recovery path when somebody uses too much AI in their content, because I know you have to have seen this. Whether it was in your company or with one of your clients or someone who's come to you to help maybe clean up. What does that recovery path look like? Because so many of us went the avatar path 18 months ago because it was new. And now we're like, wow, we don't want that out there anymore because it's robotic. So what does that look like?
Yeah. And you know, it's so the wild, wild west, right? Because we all jumped on, oh, do the virtual. I've got one of my mentors, Paul Culligan. He had on LinkedIn the virtual Paul. So he had all these posts about virtual Paul. So I think it's if you're putting it out there and you're calling it what it is, it's more authentic than you're trying to pretend that it's you when it's really not you. But I think you have to have it minimized. Again, put it out there. And if you're doing the cleanup, then you've got to go through and say, what post, what content do we just need to delete? Right? It's like cleaning out your closet. So you've got to go in and say, nope, outdated, nope, not doing it. This says the wrong thing about me. So I'm an action taker. We believe, you know, dive in head first, see what works, what doesn't work, but then be able to pull back and say, okay, this isn't what I want to do now. But I'm going to tell you, just like Jen said earlier, you still need to dive in, right? So if you're not going head first into AI and learning as much as you can, you can take a breath and decide, but you got to start moving quick versus slow.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's do that. Let's role play this out, because we have people who are afraid and their head is in the sand and they're like, they're watching everything that's happening. They're like, oh, AI is going to go away. Folks, AI is not going away. No way, no how. There is no way that genie is going back in the bottle. So you have those people who are like, oh, I'm just going to wait and see. I'm just going to put my head in the sand because it's going away. Yeah. When we know it's not. So you have that. And then you have the people who are afraid because they're afraid they're going to put something out or they're going to do something or use it in a way that is going to inhibit privacy or that the AI is going to take their IP. So talk to those people and what's the one step that each of those people can do to get unstuck when it comes to content creation.
Well, first of all, about the IP, if you think that your IP is safe already without AI, you're mistaken.
Yep.
Everything you've created, everything you've done is out there for the world. Anyone can steal it at any time. It has nothing to do with AI. So be fearless, go out there, put whatever you want out there. So I would say that about that part. The other part about just, you know, jumping in and doing it, and like you said, it's not going away. You've got to take those first steps. The other thing I think that business owners and entrepreneurs are missing is, okay, take the personal brand part out of it. What can you do to streamline your processes and systems that's going to take your company to move it faster, better, and more profitable? Microsoft just laid off 9,000 people. That was because of AI. Mm-hmm. That's because they've learned how to streamline those jobs. It's sad, but those people now have to learn new skills. I think it was Jim Rohn who said, you know, how do you become more valuable in the marketplace? So, you know, if that job's not there anymore, then you've got to learn something else. Hey, remember back in the, I don't remember, but back in the day where the operators had to plug in the cords for phones, right? All those women got laid off, but you had to learn something else because the world changed. Just like horse and buggy became cars. So you weren't taking the horseshoes, you were becoming a mechanic. So you've got to figure out what's going on and try and be a couple steps ahead and learn where you can take those skills. So again, that's what I say, is just jump in and learn those processes. So we've taken emails, the way we write our emails have been automated. The way our proposals are going out is being automated. So we've gone through each step of our business and say, how can we save time? How can we do it more efficient and serve our client base better?
Fantastic, Melanie. This has just been such a refreshing and insightful conversation. It's nice to talk to somebody who says the same thing. I know people are watching this going, oh, Jen said that. Yeah. And now they're hearing it from the branding and the marketing standpoint. How can viewers find you to learn more about you, see more of your content, or get in touch if they're looking for support?
Sure. So you can go to EliteOnlinePublishing.com. That's our website. Of course, we're on Instagram, Elite Online Publishing. And we're on YouTube. We have a couple of podcasts. You can find us everywhere. Everywhere social media is, Elite Online Publishing is, and my personal Instagram is Melanie Johnson.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you. And you have been reminded today that whether we're stepping into a new chapter or learning new tools, the key is to stay real, stay visible, lead with intention, and to just get started. If you are afraid, today is the day to dive in and do something, take action that's going to build that momentum. It's that momentum that helps us to move forward, to grow our businesses, and see that success. We do have to take a brief break, but Stick around because you're not going to want to miss a moment of the rest of our show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Power CEOs, the truth behind the business. We are back, and if you are just tuning in, you are going to want to go to nowmedia.tv, click on the show, and catch the first half of today's episode. It was pure gold. You're not going to want to miss a moment of this, or you can check out our app. Go ahead and download that today on Roku or iOS. But now we're going to shift gears a little bit because we're facing a reality check today. AI is not coming. It's here. You know, you've been around. Now we're living in a time where innovation is no longer optional. We're going to dive into how to lead with purpose and agility in this AI-empowered era. I've got two friends of mine here today to talk about this because they are educators and master simplifiers all about AI literacy. Welcome to the show, Tom and Steve.
Hello, Jen. Thanks for having us.
Hey,
I'm really excited.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to have you guys on. So let's talk about the elephant in the boardroom. Why are so many smart entrepreneurs still frozen when it comes to learning AI?
A couple of reasons. I think that the first one, everyone's stuck in overwhelm, you know, and if you're not comfortable and confident in knowing the chase, the direction you're going to go in, it's easier just not to start. So I think there's so many new things, there's so many big giant promises. The expectation that's been set is master AI. And most entrepreneurs don't have the time to master AI, to go through a 12-week course or worse. I think another reason is that the way that AI has been trained for the most part is grossly wrong, in my professional opinion. Everyone's been focusing on tactics. How do I do prompt engineering and learning a six-step process to open every prompt? It's not obvious. It's made to be far too complicated for most people. And so if they're not able to get over that first hump to get comfortable and confident using AI, it's easier and safer for them not to even start.
So that makes me ask the follow-up question. Since we have these people kind of sticking their heads in the sand, not getting started because they're a little bit overwhelmed, what exactly is AI literacy in your mind? And why is it the new non-negotiable, I'm going to say, for business survival? I truly believe if we're not leveraging the tools by this time next year, we're not going to be viable in many of our industries. So what does that mean to you? And how do we shift the paradigm in how we're thinking about this?
Yeah, I think, Jen, the big item here is, again, Tom's talking about overwhelm, and you're right. AI is really going to change everything. So I've worked in technology my entire career, so I've been there through, the first email addresses, the first websites, the mobile revolution, e-commerce, all of those things. AI is bigger than all of them. We're equating this to fire or electricity. And so you're absolutely right. People do need to be embracing AI because it's really changing the way that we deliver our products and services, the way that we service our customers. But really, the thing that we've been saying lately is AI also has the ability to make us human in a way that we haven't been in an awful long time. So it's just a sticking your head in the sand, that's not the approach right now. So really, it's all about getting started, getting people comfortable, and jumping in to an appropriate implementation of AI.
You know, Steve, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, one of the things that I say a lot when I'm working with my clients, especially, I work with business, I'm a business consultant, I work with entrepreneurs day and night. And when they're in that stage, I ask the question, so AI's here, whether you like it or not, it's embedded within a lot of the tools you're already using. So would you rather let AI control what's happening in your business and in your life, or would you rather be leveraging the tool and having exercising a little bit of locus of control over it and how it impacts you and your business? And that sort of gives people pause because you know, what we see in the media and what we think, like there's a lot of AI that's been embedded within tools that we've been using for years now, and they just didn't realize it. So it seems like it just sprung up overnight a couple years ago when ChatGPT became the next big thing, but really it's been around for a long time. So I think the question I want to ask you guys next, you work with high performing entrepreneurs. You've done this for years and throughout this whole digital age, you've been involved in this whole sort of evolution. What do you see are the hidden beliefs or fears that are keeping people from embracing the shift, even though they're really highly successful individuals?
I've had the opportunity to work with Tony Robbins, you know, one-on-one, a person who trained him how to use AI, Peter Diamandis with Abundance 360. I'm also working with Blake Mycoskie, the founder of Tom's Shoes. And I think, you know, and all of them have varying degrees of AI skill development and you know, comfort and experience with it. The biggest thing that's holding them back is not knowing where to start. I see a lot of CEOs in the first couple of years, everyone jumped into rolling out advanced, complex AI solutions for their companies. And a lot of CEOs essentially delegated AI. They went to their business, to their teams that said, hey, go start using AI, right? Without themselves finding out what is actually possible and what it can really do. And so I think a lot of entrepreneurs are truly not able to wrap their heads around what is possible. I remember when I was 16, I got my driver's license. I thought I could drive really fast and I was really good because I was passing people. That kind of mirrors the people using AI who think they're doing great work with it. But then 3 years later, I went to my first driving event and I got to drive with an instructor in the passenger seat first. I went around really quick. I thought I did great. Then we switched and he drove and my jaw hit the floor. And I remember the visceral feeling of going, wow, my car can handle like this? And I was blown away. I literally had no idea. And he unlocked 5 different levels of what was possible in my mind. And I think until CEOs and entrepreneurs have that experience, are able to go in and get hands-on and learn how to work with AI naturally and how to use it strategically and get that that insight, it's hard for them to delegate, you know, to everyone to start learning and just using AI. So I think a big issue is that the CEOs are skipping that very important step and everyone's focused on the advanced solutions before they first get the basic entry-level steps. What are the core foundational shifts that if you make these 2, 3, 4 shifts, everything changes for you? And that's really the work that we do with AI Simplifier. And what makes it really unique is whether someone's brand new at using AI. I mean, they've used it once or twice, right, to come up with a recipe, or they've been using it every single day. You know, we've even had AI software developers go through our course with a team of 150 people. They walk away with a lot because we're really focusing on those strategic foundational shifts. And I think that's where the big opportunity is, the low-hanging fruit. You know, we have tons of clients that come back reporting 20 to 40%, you know, productivity gains for themselves and then for their entire team as well when they go through our team program.
So let's make this real for everybody who's watching. Like, what's the one mindset shift that anybody watching today can make right now that's going to kind of get them over that hump, get them moving, and get them thinking in that other way? We talk a lot about strategy and tactics, but this is really, it's about mindset and how we interact and see our interactions. So what would be that mindset shift that anybody watching today could shift forward and start that momentum?
Yeah, well, the very first mindset, so we have 8 mindsets that we teach in our 30-day sprint. The very first one is quit typing and start talking. And the core idea is that this thing here, the keyboard, is actually evil. Put another way, it is a retardant of flow. And our entire lives, the only way we've been able to get information out of our minds into the computers is by typing. But the problem is that it filters 80, 90% of the raw material that we have, right? The context, the nuance, the detail, the you know, what the problem is, what you've tried. And instead of putting that into the LLM, you know, ChatGPT or whatever we're working with, we type in, I need help with my, you know, HR. I have a tough employee, right? So if you start using the keyboard less and start talking, and in most apps, you can hit the microphone and it transcribes perfectly, even if you have an accent, even if you don't speak perfectly. The goal is raw input, right? The more context you can provide, the more nuanced the output's going to be. And so you can speak three times faster than you can type. So it's more efficient, but the big shift is it's much more effective because you're going to give 5 to 10 times more nuance and detail to the AI. It's going to be able to use that, spot the patterns, clean it up, and give you clear direction moving forward. So just making that one shift for people, I've had a lot of people come back after the first course and saying, wow, I got my money's worth already. So I type maybe 5 to 10% of my time than I used to on my computer now.
And so, folks, if you need to have it repeated for the folks in the back of the room, Tom just called it like it is. You don't need to know everything about AI. You need to start. And one of the best things you can do is stop trying to type into your language models or whatever you're using and start using that talk to text option and voice it in, because you can put the context in, you can do everything, and the AI already is trained to simplify it. And that way it gets more information and gives you a more clear response, a more concise response that's relevant, really, because you've provided it with more information. And, you know, I also wanted to just ask, if people are starting this, Tom today or Steve, before we wrap this segment, where can our viewers find you guys online? What's your website? How can they engage with you? And remember, folks, let them know you heard it on Power CEOs.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jen. So yeah, come visit us at ai-simplifier.com. You can also reach out to Tom and I on LinkedIn. We'd love to connect there. And yeah, don't forget to mention you saw us here on Power CEO.
So we do have to take a brief break, but before we roll, I just want to echo some of the things that we said today. AI is not something for us to put our head in the sand. If we have not started taking action, or even if we've been doing a little bit day by day, today's the day to use your voice instead of your keyboard, because you'll be surprised at how much shifts just with that one habit change. My challenge to you know I'm a coach, I can't help but give a challenge, is to put this into action, not tomorrow, but today. The next time you log into your computer, don't use the keyboard. You leverage your voice and give it the context it needs so that you can start to get a little bit more comfortable. And bonus, we're used to talking a heck of a lot more when we're talking to our assistants anyway. This just makes it more natural. It's closer to us interacting with our human assistants, because what we're now doing is using virtual assistants. We will be right back after these important messages. Welcome back to Power CEOs, where we're going deep on how to improve our AI literacy, how to flip the script and really view the age of AI as an opportunity as entrepreneurs and executives. If you're loving what you're watching, you're not going to want to miss a moment of it. Get to nowmedia.tv to see our shows live or on demand. And you can also download our free app, Now Media TV, on Roku or iOS, and enjoy your content anytime, anywhere. So, guys, I'm here with Tom and Steve, and we are talking about kind of the gap between AI and prompting and tactics versus actual AI literacy and adoption, and why entrepreneurs are still suck. So let's solve this problem once and for all. Tom, you have AI Simplifier. It's not just another course. It's actually more of a movement to empower business leaders to leverage the tool without needing a PhD in tech. This isn't about the future. It's about our next move. So talk to me about how AI Simplifier is different than other tools and courses that are out there. What makes it really click for the non-technical entrepreneurs?
Yeah, so funny story. In January of last year, I quote unquote retired from AI. After spending a good couple years, working with it, and I slowly got brought back into it. And the reason I came back is I realized there's so few people that are really simplifying AI. I had heard time and time and time again that most AI presentations, most AI gurus these days, are what I call over-complexifying entertainers. What this means is they're showing off, hey, Jen, in 11 labs, and we can instantly create videos and audio and write a book in 18 seconds and all these things. And they're cool for entertaining purposes. But most entrepreneurs I talk to, they leave those scratching their heads going, okay, that was cool, but I can't really leverage and practically implement any of this in my business now. And so that's what AI Simplifier was built to do. You know, people don't want a 12-week course. They don't want to spend 36 hours learning how to use AI. You know, it's overwhelming. It's too much. It's too complicated. And so what we did was to set out to create, you know, a short 30-day sprint. You know, think of kind of a hell week. You go in, you go all out, and at the end, you've massively increased your capability and capacity. So the fun part about the sprint is it's four 90-minute sessions, so it's not, you know, 30 days of hell. It's actually fun. But the focus is simplicity. It's basic. What are the fewest changes you can make? And essentially, we've got four themes that we cover. So the first is voice. Because everyone agrees, you know, people try out ChatGPT and they say, ah, that's cool, but it doesn't sound like me. And so there's that can be fixed. Everyone can spot AI written content a mile away these days. You know, 90% of content these days is AI generated. So it sounds something like, hey, Jen, this is going to be a game changing episode on live TV. And we're going to do a deep dive. And it's not about this, it's about that. And let's do this. Insert 17 M dashes along the way. Right? So people starting to think that AI is bad for writing content, but that's completely false. The problem is 98% of people don't know how to use it the right way. So we've really dialed it in. Like, what are the fewest things you can do to fix your voice, then free up time, then overcome obstacles, and then really tap into your biggest opportunities? And so the course that we provide is hands-on, practical. It's not a 78-page, you know, best use case studies, you know, examples that are really not relevant and practical and easy to implement. And so when you create that quick adoption and developing of confidence, then it empowers the user to start doing it more. And then when you get your whole team starting to do better work and really, you know, delegate and reduce the work that sucks, right? The work that's mentally draining, so they can reinvest that time into the work that lights them up. Not only are you being more productive, but you're getting happier employees doing higher quality work in the same amount of time. So there's just so much of an opportunity with what I call the low-hanging fruit is really where we focus. We're not doing AI development and software automation and all that stuff. There's a place for it. But before all that, I believe strongly that people need to get that baseline understanding and really that light bulb moment. And they go, whoa, I can do this with AI? Because very few people have truly experienced that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm going to ask a question because we see this a lot. I do a lot of AI strategy and integration, like actually producing the, my tech team produces the models and we do the training. But one of the biggest hurdles we face is fear around it. So how do you guys overcome that? If say I'm a business owner, I have 150 employees and I'm looking at doing an AI implementation throughout my company, how do you shift that fear for the people who work for us? Because let's face it, a lot of the AI integrations at an enterprise level end up being an expensive paperweight because nobody wants to adopt it because they're afraid they're going to end up losing their job. So how does what you guys do sort of bridge that gap?
Yeah, there's some really interesting stuff happening. We heard there was one example that we heard this morning, actually. There was a company that went and they worked with all of their employees and they cloned all of their voices. They were a marketing and communications firm. And what they did was they, as Tom mentioned there a moment ago, you can actually use AI and you can actually clone your voice. And so what they did, they went and they cloned all their employees' voices and then they let them all go. That's what people are afraid of. And we actually take the other approach. We actually help the people that are there become much more effective and much more efficient. So the thing is, AI will displace jobs, but what we find is for most entrepreneurs and most of their teams, you know, small and medium-sized businesses, like you were talking about, up to 150, you know, 200 people, they're all working very, very hard. But what we find, once the leader and CEO has gone through our program, then the teams go through the program, what we find is there's a multiplier there. So they can either do more work in less amount of time or with less effort, or more importantly, it's lighting up those aha moments. It's creating content that we've never had the opportunity to do before. And really what we're talking about is compressing the time to action. So if you think about a typical new product development or something like that, we've got an idea, we've got two or three different ways that we can leverage that idea and then actually get into action, and we're actually compressing all of those. So it's just a really, really fun time. And so, yeah, we need to, as entrepreneurs, we need to make sure that those bad stories of letting all the people go, that's not the best way forward from our way of thinking.
Right. And, you know, I immediately think of, because I experience this, I get this, asked this question all the time from stage or whatnot. And that's, there's all these stories, these negative aspects, but we don't have any intention of letting everyone go. We actually want them to be on board. So it really is amplifying that message. So let me ask you this. How can people who are watching here, how can they frame this conversation if they're going to go through this? How can they frame this with their employees so that they're very clear that this is an amplification of what you're able to do? This is not a replacement. And what is your advice in that space? Because I know that's the number one problem a lot of people are trying to solve right now. They're afraid they're going to go through all this. And then even if they have no intention of letting their employees are going to hear, oh, we're doing AI, and they're going to go look for something else. So what do you recommend for the people watching? How do they message this? How do they approach this? Because there is a lot of noise out there and a lot of, you know, replacement instead of amplification in the news.
Yeah, there's a lot of fear. And of course, you know, the news is negative headlines get a lot more clicks, right? So you're not hearing about the stories that, hey, this business, you know, increased their productivity by 50%. And now that it's a more profitable business, they have better margins, they're providing better benefits to their team because they learn how to leverage AI, right? Those are the stories that are happening left and right, but they're not getting headlines, right? People just want to hear about X brand name company laid off 9,000 people, and that's what gets clicks, right? So there's a lot of fear around it. And, you know, in terms of the fears, AI good or bad, you know, my quick statement on that is you can use fire either to cook your dinner or to burn down your house. So yeah, there's going to be bad things that come from AI, but I'm also confident in the upside, and there's going to be a lot of great, amazing things, you know, that we're going to be able to do because of AI. So I think the most important thing for leaders is the intention behind it all. And I think, you know, that's why leaders have to learn the power of AI and how to use it, because when they get those light bulb moments, they can see the light. They go, whoa, we can use it not just to replace jobs, but how can we serve twice as many clients with the same amount of staff? One of our clients, within the first 30 days of going through the course, cleared up his entire backlog, right? A project that was open for 6 months, they figured out how to close in 2 hours. And so they removed all the obstacles. And once him and his team did that, they were able to triple the outbound calls to their existing clients from 250 to 750 in one quarter. Exact same team, way less stress, way more fun, triple the output, right? And I think those are the stories and the examples that need to be given. And it's really painted from the angle of, we are investing in you, and you're going to be a more valuable and more productive employee, and you're going to get to do more of the stuff you enjoy doing because we're going to teach you how to leverage AI internally and then bring it to help, you know, in the business. So I think it's really the angle and the intention that's set from the get-go. As goes the leadership team, so goes the rest of the team. So when the leader and the leadership team both learn what's possible and start seeing this bigger and better future that can be amplified and created thanks to AI, I think if it's planted that way to the team, they're going to be a lot more receptive and a lot more willing. They have to, you know, they have to see the picture, because the picture they're reading right now is given via the news, and the picture is fear, fear, fear. And so I think for leaders to have a successful rollout of AI, they have to get the buy-in from their teams.
And, absolutely.
Frankly, a lot of companies have not done this, right? It's been fear. It's been not telling them what's doing and doing behind the scenes, and then they roll out this big AI solution, and then they're scared. They're scratching their head why everyone's not jumping up and down when they talk about it, right?
You're absolutely right. And unfortunately, all good things come to an end, including the show. So folks, Tom and Steve have brought to us a new way of looking at AI. They are shifting the narrative. They are providing AI literacy. Reach out to them at ai-simplifier.com. Let them know that you found them on you heard about them on Power CEOs. Reach out to me if you need their contact information. Thank you so much for staying with us. We do have to go, unfortunately, but you have your action steps. Start using voice instead of your keyboard when you're prompting your LLMs or your AIs, and start getting comfortable. And beyond anything else, lead from example and be transparent with your team. Get them excited about the integrations that you're going to do, because that's how we lead in a way that amplifies rather than replaces. We will be here same time, same station next week. But until then, win today, win this week, and I'll see you next time.